Welcome back to 2 Minute Drill. Week 4 is on the horizon. Pierce joined by Joe and Scott. We are going to, and we're not going to follow this rule that I'm about to set right now because we never do. I'm going to set an edict before we get going right now. We are not to talk about or speak about Matthew Nagy unless we're talking about other coaches.
Yeah, good luck.
And how good other coaches are. I don't want to talk about Matthew Nagy today.
He's too important to the topic of the NFL.
In comparison to other coaches, like let's not wax poetic on why he needs to be fired.
Gotcha.
We've been doing a hell of that. And shout out to national media for joining with us on that. So let's do our, we got something Matt Nagy-esque in the rundown when we talk about other coaches that probably need to be fired as well. But there's so much other stuff to talk about in football today, man. Namely, this might be the very first time in Patrick Mahomes' career, not even NFL. Like, I don't even know how bad Texas Tech used to be. This might be the first time he's ever been in last place.
Yeah.
Wasn't Texas Tech? Texas Tech was good.
No,
I mean compared to the rest, compared to the, like Kansas State and Kansas. You telling me a Kansas was higher ranked than Texas at one point?
I have no fucking idea. That's why I'm asking
y'all. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I have no idea. Cause I'm asking y'all. I don't watch college football like that.
So. I was thinking, like college football, but they're the freaking Big 12. So
yeah, I was talking about Big 12 standards, like Kansas.
Kansas, terrible. No, you're not gonna get much out of Kansas, but she's still. I mean, you think was Baylor good that year? No, but you got Oklahoma.
Baylor is off and on good.
Yeah. You got Oklahoma, which was they're typically always ranked. We'll see how long their Oklahoma remains in the Big 12, but
they're not in the Big 12. But anyway, like yeah, this is the first time in his NFL career that he's been last place, and it's not gonna last. Because they're going to beat the dog shit out of the Eagles on Sunday. God bless to Jalen Hurts. God bless. Gardner Minshew might be in there sooner rather than later. I apologize for sticking with Hurts. What's the problem with the Chiefs right now?
Defense and turnovers.
Line is a defense. What is
turnovers? We've never seen Patrick Mahomes turn the ball over like this. He has 3 picks, 3 of them in the month of September, which he's never thrown a pick in the month of September until they play Baltimore. And if you look at that game,
never lost in the month of September until they play Baltimore. Now he's got 2.
Exactly. And now if you look at this last game, I think that people forget he threw the interception that put the Chargers right in perfect position.
Oh, so yeah, Texas Tech stunk when Patrick Mahomes was there. So
okay,
as a starter,
yeah.
Damn. Well, yeah,
matter of fact, they haven't won more than 8.
Okay,
games.
But like 5-7, maybe. But they never been like 2-10.
He was there in 2014, and that's the day that the year that he took over. No, he was a freshman, and he came in 7 games. Okay, but his first 2 starting years of 2015, 2016. And in those 2 years, they got 7 wins and then 5 wins.
Yeah, that's about how I figured Texas Tech would be.
And they were not on the AP at all, but it was Cliff King. I take it back. They went to the Texas Bowl in his first starting year. They lost, though. No bowl game the next year, and they were 5-7. But it was Cliff Kingsbury, so, you know, as you said.
So, like I was saying, he threw that pick at the end of the game, which put the Chargers in a nice manageable field position to go ahead and win that game. So I think more than anything, it's the defense and the turnovers. The turnovers I'm not worried about. We all know Pat's not a turnover machine. He's going to get that shit fixed up, and they're going to be good on that. The defense is still a major worry. The defense has never really been good since Pat has been there, but they've been manageable, like to the point they can go out there and make plays, especially like
they got turnovers.
Yeah, they got turnovers, you know, at the end of the last 2 seasons, you know, with them making the Super Bowl and back to back years. So they were able to do that. This defense doesn't have that same motor, at least so far. This is just 3 games. But I think the bigger question here is not just, you know, I still think the Chiefs are going to win this division, but long term, he has another alpha in this division. You know what I'm saying? He got him and Herbert are going to be going at it. And that's, I think, what's the bigger picture here more than what's worried about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are ultimately going to be fine. But bigger picture, I don't think he's going to be able to cruise through this division as much as usual.
Well, AFC West is a lot better than people want to give it credit because, like, you know, I still don't believe in the Raiders. Maybe after next week when they play the Chargers, they beat the Chargers, I might start to give them some leeway. The Chargers, I'm still not, like, completely sold on. I know they've looked really good throughout their first three games. They manhandled Washington. I think we're finding out right now that Washington, without a stable quarterback, is not really going to go anywhere.
They can come get Andy Dalton.
Yeah, go trade for Andy Dalton. You know, go, yeah, do something like that. I'm trying so hard not to get on that. who is their loss to? I'm blanking. Oh, the Cowboys, and they almost beat the Cowboys. So, like, they're a decent squad, but I think relative to the rest of the league or the rest of the division, like, the Chiefs are going to be fine. We'll talk about, like, contenders and pretenders because, like, the other three teams in the AFC West have had some pretty good starts, too. But, yeah, you know, Chiefs kind of got to right the ship through week three. Glad that Andy Reid is doing better. There's a little health scare. So I didn't watch the game of the week between the Rams and the Buccaneers. So I can't really say, like, you know, what all went down. I'm just really upset because most of my bets and parlays were predicated on the Buccaneers winning. And, yeah, it didn't win. Are y'all finally gonna give credit to the Rams or what?
I'm starting to become a believer in the Rams. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm starting to become a believer in the Rams. My whole thing with the Rams has been, I still don't think that. I think Matthew Stafford, as somebody, as all three of us, we've watched Stafford up close his whole fucking career because he's been in our division. I think a lot of people, not people, if you weren't, you know, in the NFC North, you weren't watching the fucking Lions. Like, a lot of people, I feel like he's one of those weird quarterbacks where he's very polarized. He's not as bad as some people make him out to be, and he's not as good as some people make him out. I don't believe that Matthew Stafford is
he's somewhere on the in-between, and just talking about the past, like, 15 years. He's somewhere in the in-between between Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan.
Yes.
He's not as good as Matt Ryan. He's not as terrible
as Andy Dalton. Right. I 100% agree with that. I don't feel like people have been putting, like, this is the guy that's going to put them over the top. For what I see right now, as far as what I say, I believe in him as far as winning this division, because I picked the Niners to win the division, and Jimmy G gave me a big fuck you the other day.
Aaron Rodgers that gave you the big fuck you.
Yeah, this is also true, but I also feel like, you know, so when I say I believe in them in this division as a legit contender in the NFC, but they were already back. You know what I'm saying? To fucking begin with. They were just in the Super Bowl a couple fucking years ago. So I still don't think that, you know, this is a franchise that, you know, Tom Brady can't come into LA and beat these niggas. I mean, we've just seen the last couple of days in the media is what happens once every fucking year. The Patriots or the Buccaneers, Tom Brady loses to some hot contender and everybody's like, he's getting old, this defense has problems. What happens? He takes their souls in fucking January. So there's nothing to really speak about here. You know, and we all know that Brady can go into LA, beat them in the NFC Championship game, stay in LA for the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. That would just be peak fucking Brady. So, but as far as the Rams are concerned, I think they're a good team. They got the second best player in the league to me, which is Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey is a fucking stud. They got everything they need. I just don't know that when, if they need to make a play in these playoff games, is Stafford the guy who's going to do that?
He done?
Good.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm gonna be on Scott's side here because Scott may take like three. He might take like three to get his take off. Joe, we gonna give you a good, nice little sermon today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's somewhere in between Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan was a very good metaphor, analogy, similar, whatever the hell it is. It was great. It was a very good explanation. Their career stats, I think. Matt Ryan has one more year Matt Ryan came in 2008 and Matt Stafford came in 2009, and he has, their stats literally resemble someone who had one more year than the other, except outside of yards, which surprisingly Matt Stafford has like 10,000 more yards than Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has more 10,000 more yards than Matt Stafford, which was a bit shocking to me, but whatever. I think Matthew Stafford is literally, in terms of his play and his career, not at the level of Matt Ryan, but I also think he's not far away. I mean, on top of that, I mean, Matt Stafford has thrown for what, 5,000 yards twice.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what's the difference? Playoff wins, probably.
playoff wins is the really big difference with anything. Like literally, like he Matt Ryan has more touchdowns, and it literally resembles the fact they had.
They've had the receiver that can save them at times.
That he had one more year. Like their career quarterback rating is almost identical. Career interceptions, Matt Ryan has 20 more. I also think like 20 more touchdowns as well. Mm-hmm. And I would say Matt Stafford is right under him in terms of, or I mean, right next to him in terms of talent. But I think what separates him more than anything, I think why Matt Stafford will be that guy for the Rams is the simple fact of the environment that he's in. I mean, first of all, he's starting out on fire. 70% completion rating. He's never sniffed 70 since I want to say like the 2014 season. He's never even had 70 at all, but he's never come close to even getting there regularly to have that. 2015, I want to say he may have had 66% completion percentage. I don't know. I looked at it before we got on, but I wasn't 100% sure.
I'll take a look at Football Reference.
Okay. And now it's not only that he has, you know, very good receivers, you know, very good slot receivers. None of them, of course, are of the level of Calvin Johnson was. I don't know.
He's never had a completion percentage above 67.2. That was 2015.
2015. Okay.
He came close 16.6 in 2018, but his 70.2 right now would be the highest of his career.
And like his in the first game, he completed like almost 80% or 77%, something crazy. He's really having a good season so far. It's only three games in. I think it comes down to that he has an actually good coach with him, a coach that understands offense. He's not the brain trust coach that everybody says is. I think he's overrated in several ways.
He knows how to manage quarterbacks and how to get the best out of his quarterbacks. And he's also like, what would be the three wide receivers just the last couple of years since Calvin left in Detroit? It would have been Galladay, Marvin Jones, and I feel like I'm blanking on the third. It was Galladay, Marvin Jones. I feel like Golden Tate was there for a short little bit, but then he got traded.
I thought Golden Tate was there for a short little bit too.
Let's just say that. Galladay, Golden Tate, and Marvin Jones. They don't measure up to the main three that he has right now.
Golden Tate used to kick ass.
Golden Tate used to kick our ass, but
and,
like
and even when he came back,
what slot receiver doesn't kick our ass?
On him and Philly, fourth and two.
God man,
fourth and go.
Yeah. Oh Lord. But I mean, compared right now to Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks. Oh, not Brandon Cooks. They traded Brandon Cooks to Houston. Who am I blanking on as third in LA? I'm again blanking on the third in LA, but. Like he's never had guys like that. He's never had, you know, double tight end sets like Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. Yeah, his running backs, he could, you know, but again, not his fault because like they've been going down and getting hurt. Yeah, I don't think he's had offensive weapons plus the offensive mind at head coach like he does right now with the Rams. And, you know, his best shot was really the years that he had Jim Caldwell. Like that is why Detroit is in the hole that it is right now because you were so impatient those 3 years with Jim Caldwell.
Van Jefferson
winning
is that who you think of?
Might be.
I'm sorry, that's the third receiver, but the other receiver
did have a good because he did have a good game in the first game, so he might have been the third receiver I'm thinking of because they did trade.
He has Tyler Higbee, which I think Tyler Higbee is a pretty solid tight end.
Having Higbee and Gerald Everett in your as your double tight ends, like that's such a security blanket for him. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if Stafford, if he continues to play the way that he is now, if Stafford winds up being in the MVP conversation or MVP, I would not be shocked because he's finally got really everything around him to really accentuate what made him the number one pick in the draft all them years ago. You know, we just got to see how the year rolls out. They're in a very tough division.
I mean, before you go, Scott, I was going to say, I think we went past Mahomes already, but I wanted to briefly say, because I don't think I had a chance to explain why the Chiefs are the way they are. The biggest thing I think that hurt the Chiefs is overconfidence. I just want to
put that out there. Talking shit all offseason.
They talked a lot as if somehow like they didn't get stumped the mud hole in by the Bucks.
Happened in the Super Bowl was a fluke, and we'll
you know what I'm saying?
And we'll be right back. And like
they didn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and that should let them know that the Bucks are not as fast as you are. But they figured out how to contain you all. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is, I love him as a quarterback. I think he can end up being one of the greatest of all time. But he's very overconfident of himself. And there is
it overconfidence to a Brett Favre level?
No,
because some of the interceptions he throws are like,
that's not a throw that Brett Favre don't think he can make.
Exactly. At least Pat Mahomes.
Whereas in the contrast, there's not a throw that Patrick Mahomes can't make.
Exactly. I think there's like, if you want to talk about overconfidence or confidence to overconfidence, there's like Aaron Rodgers and then there's Brett Favre. Ironically, it's those two. Aaron Rodgers can make all the throws and is confident he can make the throws. But he also knows, I'm going to keep this and run, or I'm going to keep this and throw this out of bounds. It's rare to throw this out of bounds, but he does do it. Brett Favre is, well, that looks open. That looks good to me. And Pat Mahomes is sitting in the middle right now for a reason he shouldn't be. And I think he's hurt. Like that last pick, that you didn't even need to throw that. You did not even need to throw that. You could have got another run. You could have got a solid gain. And you could have ended because you gave them a minute left. You gave them a minute left, which was just, that was so unnecessary. But I just think it's just a mental thing. We have to realize you aren't the champs. You're the champs 2 years ago. Just dial it back in and they'll be fine. In terms of Matthew Stafford, I think more than anything, he has a good offensive line behind him. And I mean, if you have a good offensive line, you can go places. And on top of that, you're adding somebody with as good of an arm as he has. Add that in and you're having the type of success. And mentally, who would not go to LA and feel great? On top of that, you're in a brand new stadium. You're with a good coach who cares about the team.
Southern California.
And he's rich. This is true for people. This is true for people who ain't rich. So this is definitely true for rich niggas.
You know what I'm saying? Scott's not rich, but if I ask Scott, you gonna come back home? Be like, no.
Hell no.
No, I'm not coming back. Listen, I'm not gonna be here at all.
I'll get a job at Del Taco. I'll go get a job at Del Taco if I move.
Have you seen Matthew Stafford's wife?
I actually have not. I really not.
She will thrive in Beverly Hills. She looks like a Beverly Hills ass wife.
But there
perfect
was
perfect space for them to be.
Throughout 2014 to 2017, Matthew Stafford got sacked 213 times in Detroit. Almost around 30 plus sacks per year. That is just a lot to deal with for a quarterback. And we're three games in, and he's been sacked three times. So crazy. not only has he had a chance to to sit back in the pocket and really do what he's good at, and that's launch the football, he has receivers who get open. He has a tight end who gets open. He has a coach who does it. So I'm going to give it maybe to week six to where I make my actual determination of who they are, because everybody's still feeling out themselves. As I said, the Chiefs will figure it out. But if they continue that, man, that'll be an interesting NFC championship game versus probably the Buccaneers, because nobody else in the NFC looks worthy at the moment.
Or Stephen A, the Packers are the second best team in the NFL.
Yeah, Stephen A doesn't watch. Like, I'll say this about Matthew Stafford and his MVP chance. I'm with you. I'm going to wait a little longer. I'm going to give it a couple games. Like, because this is 17 game season. So we still got 14 fucking games left. It's damn near a whole fucking season left. So I'll give it a little more time before I go that way. But I wouldn't be shocked to see him as a candidate. I don't think he's going to win it. Like, Brady threw 40 touchdowns last year. I think if Brady is in that same 40 to 50, and him being older, if the Bucks finish with the top two seed, I could see them giving it to Brady again. I really could. I could see them giving it to fucking Rodgers again. Like there's those guys too. So I have to see more. I could see Stafford as a candidate, but I still think they can give it to the usual of Brady, Mahomes, or Rodgers.
I think the NFL would like some new blood in that. That's just my take on it.
Matthew Stafford ain't really new blood, though.
Well, he's new blood in the MVP conversation. Has Matthew Stafford ever been in an MVP conversation?
Hell no.
Have you ever looked at Matthew Stafford as possible MVP?
I still don't look at him.
The year he had like 5,000 yards.
Yeah,
like
2011. Yeah.
I don't think they were in the playoffs.
No, they were wild card.
They were wild card, yeah. They went to two wild card games.
Yeah. So yeah. Actually, three. They went three wild card.
Yeah. 2011, 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns. Yeah. So.
Death taxes Aaron Rodgers. Just when you think the 49ers with 37 seconds left on the clock have
every Bears fan knew how that game was going to end.
Green Bay
every
Packers.
Fucking Bears fan knew how that game was
I said there was no time left on the clock, and then like my it smartened up in my brain. I'm like, oh shit, no. Like, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers and Matt Crosby. What the fuck is his first name? Matt, what the fuck is his first name? Crosby.
I thought it was Crosby's first name.
Max Crosby, but that's a dude from the Raiders. Whatever. Crosby, the kicker. I'll talk about them.
Mason.
Two.
Mason Crosby.
There you go. I knew it was something supremely Caucasoid. But we've seen this fucking, with them two particular, we've seen this shit time and time again. And it stinks. It stinks. But I also have to remember that I got one more year left with this. So I'm going to enjoy the pain while I can. But on another note, I think the Niners look like a really good 2-1. Like, say what you will about Jimmy G. Jimmy G does have them playing decent. As compared to last year when they were just floundering around with really the same folks, you know, give or take injury, Joe Bosa, a couple other folks. Niners still look like top team in the West. Whatever you feel about the nine, about the Rams, I still feel like the Niners are the top team in the West.
I mean, I'm not going to waver from my pick that I gave with them being the division winner. I had them in the NFC Championship game too. So I'm not going to waver too, because like you said, like Jimmy G has moments. Like Jimmy G's not a bad quarterback. Jimmy G is mid, but he's not a bad quarterback. But the reason they lost that game was not because of Jimmy G. Like you said, it's because of Aaron Rodgers. Everybody with the fucking brain.
He threw that pick and
he bounced back.
He bounced back. I was very impressed with how he bounced back.
You know how I treat NFL quarterbacks in this era, and we're going to exclude the Bears from this. Yeah, and we're gonna exclude the Bears from this. Quarterbacks throw picks. I don't really care about picks. As long as you're not past 15 picks a season, I don't give a shit. It's how
as long
you,
as you're not like consistently putting your team
in bad positions
because of your interceptions.
As long as you bounce back for them shits, that's all that matters to me. So he bounced back from that. But when they scored that touchdown, I was like, okay, you gave them niggas a little bit too much time. And I think it was Chris Collinsworth said the same shit. And I seen somebody tweet, man, this ain't 2016. Rodgers can't do shit with 37 seconds. He ain't Tom Brady.
Reigning MVP.
I was like, are you serious? One play.
You think because this nigga looks like Rip Van Winkle right now, that he not still rip your heart out?
Right. I was like, one play. They were at the 50-yard line. I was like, that's game. And Crosby is automatic. Crosby is like one of three kickers in the league that you know it doesn't matter how far it is, he's gonna fucking make it. So yeah. I knew it was just what it is. So it's really just a matter of the Packers coming out there and winning. I think it was a good win for Green Bay because they never fucking win in San Francisco. And also, Rodgers, for the most part, don't play well in his home state. So I thought that was a big win for them, even though I still don't think the Packers are that good of a fucking team.
Nah, I think they still will win the division.
Oh, man, yeah. Look who's in the fucking division.
Well, luckily the Vikings finally got a win. So if they would have been 1-2 with the Vikings, like there's still some narrowness there. But I do think that they'll win the division. They'll win it pretty handily. It's just a matter of looking at the – and you can't even do that now, right? You can't do that at week three because they're never a team that week three you look at and be like, oh, yeah, they're championship contenders. It takes a lot of convincing and a lot of racking off wins in a row from Green Bay to do that. Now, you can never count them out because they're back-to-back NFC title games. I think they've gone to three in the last like 5 or 6 years.
Three in a row.
Excuse my alarm right there. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, reigning MVP. He always rips people hard out, does it again. I don't think any team in the NFC besides Tampa has a quarterback that, like, you know, you can go out there, trust it, can get you to the NFC championship game. So they'll be, you know, they're going to cruise again this year. It's a shitty loss for the Niners because you would have been 3-0. You would have been still neck and neck with the Rams. You know, it is what it is. But I really like what I've seen out of the 49ers thus far. Yeah, they kind of, you know, slacked in that Lions game. But for me, like, the Detroit Lions just play hard.
Yeah. And
they played hard all three games. So that's an outlier to me. They handled the Eagles at home. Just, you know, if they fought back, I think they were down 14 or down 10 with like 7 minutes to go to Green Bay, and they fought back and coulda, shoulda, woulda won that game. So I really like what I've seen out of San Francisco 49ers. I usually hate to say that because I'm never one to go rah-rah for the 49ers, but 49ers look like they can be, you know, real deal contenders down.
I love the Niners because, first of all, they got the best
jerseys. Jerseys are gorgeous.
They got the best uniforms
in the
sport. They
need to keep
the
94s, man.
Yes, they have the best uniforms in the sport.
Side note, those like 75th anniversary Browns kits that they wore on Sunday were real nice too.
Yeah,
I like those white ones.
And I'm a huge Shanahan guy. I know he's not the best at the end of the games. I get it, but I love his fucking play calling. Mm-hmm. Shanahan is who Matt Nagy think is. Oh, my bad. I fucked up.
We're not going to talk about Matt Nagy in terms of good quarterbacks,
right?
Or good head coaches.
Joe, what do you think?
Well, in terms of the Packers, I'm not going to, you know, fool myself like I did last year and say that Aaron Rodgers is looking washed. The nigga ain't is going to be good because he's going to take off. He's going to take off probably, and I don't want to be looking with a shitty face.
He looked great. Did y'all see that throw that he made to all that scouting in the
end? We probably should have known because in camp, the nigga was launching bombs from like the 40 other side of the field into a small basket. Should know. Yeah, the nigga can still throw. And he started off mid the first game, which I think was just a simple fact of he hadn't had a lot of time with the team yet.
Yeah.
And he was still getting himself in shape. And then the next two games, what happened? Ain't no turnovers. You know, he's starting to throw bombs. That being said, the team is still older. The team is still aging. He's aging. The defense is buns. And so I don't predict them to do anything.
They're probably going Kevin King out there at cornerback, man.
You know what I'm saying? And he's doo-doo water. And I think that I'm pretty sure the Packers are going to win the division unless the Vikings somehow figure out a way to not stink defensively, which I don't see happening.
They can put up some points, though.
Yes, they can. Kirk Cousins doing what he does. Beginning of the season, the nigga's going to look on fire. Then he'll fizzle out.
Exactly.
Then he'll fizzle out.
Yep.
In terms of the San Francisco 49ers, there's a ceiling with Jimmy G. And they know what it is. But at the same time, they're still moving and grooving. So there's no reason to give it to Trey Lance at the moment. And I think Trey Lance needs to learn and sit behind one of the few game managers left in the NFL and, you know, learn what it means to be not on 10 every time, but a little bit of 8, a little bit of 6, you know, in terms of trying to find that big home run play. It's like Trevor Lawrence's biggest problem is he's trying to throw 15 yards every play. Just get a couple yards here and there. That being said, the uniforms are just gorgeous. I love the uniforms just completely. I love their stadium. I think they have their defense is one of the fastest defense in the league. They still have very good running backs. Even though Raheem Mostert is out for the season, right?
Yeah, he's on.
Yes.
You know, Raheem Mostert is just incredible. Incredible name. I really like
that. Just rolls off the tongue, and it sounds like you're just saying Mostert. But
So I still think they have that. They have very good skill players, and of course, you know who they have at tight end and Kittle.
He finally used George Kittle.
I know, a bit stupid to wait as long as he did. He needs to be a regular target like Kelce is, because I think he's just as good as Kelce skill wise, not production, obviously, because. Well, the production's been consistent, but Kelce has more years under his belt. Anyway, I really think I'm expecting him to still win that division. So,
yeah. Let's stay out west. The Seahawks really jagged one against Minnesota. They're 1-2. They dropped back to back. They jagged also against the Titans the week before. Are we worried about Seattle? Being in a tough division, Cardinals are 3-0, Rams are 3-0. We know we like the Niners. Are the Seahawks in trouble?
Yeah, I'm worried about the Seahawks, man. Something wrong with that team. I don't really know exactly what it is. I mean, the defense really isn't. I mean, the defense ain't been elite since they broke up LOB, but the defense has been a problem the last couple of years. The offensive line has been a problem the last couple of years. But more than anything, it just kind of felt like that team don't feel like they want to be together anymore. Like, you know, I like how Russ and Pete Carroll tried to act like them niggas are still cool. Like, you know, when they were the opposite of what they Russ is dealing with the same shit that Aaron Rodgers is dealing with. It's just Rodgers is way more vocal about it because the Rodgers personality is he don't give a fuck. You know, I think Russ is a great competitor. I'm not saying that Russ, you know, Russ is just, that's not his personality. Russ is more of a cool, calm, collected kind of guy. But he don't fuck with Pete Carroll. And I think is what we're seeing right now is that if they lose this upcoming week and they're 1-3, which I don't think they've ever been 1-3 in the Russell Wilson era, you might start to see shit hit the fan because I do think this offseason, the ownership is going to have to choose who they want. Is it going to be Russ or is it going to be Pete Carroll? One of them niggas is going to have to go. So I think if they lose this week, you're going to really start to speed up and you're going to see some shit start to come out of Seattle. But I am worried about them.
I don't know. Russ is still doing fine. They're throwing like 70% completion. I don't know. I think a lot of their losses this year have been, well, a lot of the losses, the two losses that they have this year have been nothing that makes me be concerned. I mean, I don't know. It's just a very tricky situation involving them. But I don't think, of course, there's still the fact that, you know, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson clearly do not like each other. But with that being said, there's been no loss that has made me go, oh, they may be in some trouble. I just think it's been sort of a luck of the draw with them. Yesterday, they had to deal with the fact that, not yesterday, but Sunday, they had to deal with the fact that Kirk Cousins just took off on them. The game before that was versus the Titans. And that's just an unfortunate game where you lose, you know, by three in overtime. The first game, obviously, they beat the Colts. So I'm not sure any of it will be a cause for concern. That being said, they are facing the Niners, the Rams, the Steelers, New Orleans in the next four games. And those are not four easy games. And it doesn't really get easy after that either. You get Jacksonville, but then you're going to the Packers and then the Cardinals. And then you got the football team. And then you get the 49ers right back. So their schedule is not easy until they play the Bears and then the Lions. So, and then the Texans, those are their easy games. So maybe they're just not the caliber team that you thought, or the fact is, I'm going to probably say the onus is on their defense. You know, they gave up 30 in back-to-back games against a Minnesota team they shouldn't have gave up 32. Tennessee, the majority, their drives are longer and not as shorter. But the fact that you gave up 30 means there's something wrong on the defensive side of the ball. But it's like you said, when the Legion of Boom broke up, the defense just started taking a slow decline. And it's just catching up with them. Offense only can take you so far, and then it becomes a problem. Like with the Chiefs, they're not my favorite to come out the AFC because the defense is doo-doo. And so, you know, when you pour all your chips into offense, you will see why the defense is lacking.
Yeah. Let's go east to talk about another quarterback, one that is on his dying days, one that might have to be taken out behind the woodshed and put out his
music. Should have been taken out long ass time ago, but
you know. Well, I mean, yeah, but you know, blame the justice system. Ben Roethlisberger, terrible.
He looks awful.
Bengals look pretty decent, by the way. I'm just gonna let that out on the side, but Ben looked awful.
Is that a good win for the Bears?
No, there's no such thing as a good win. Bears almost jagged that. There's no good win for the Bears. Yeah, man. I was very low on the Steelers coming into the season while people were, you know, the only reason I give the Steelers benefit of the doubt is Mike Tomlin at this point. Because Mike Tomlin just somehow has it in him to will his players, no matter how bad they may be, into competing and to getting wins. So, you know, they might still be a 7-win, 8-win team, but they don't look good at all. In week one, I don't know how the hell they beat Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say what Rich Eisen said. He's washed. And Rich Eisen was
like, washed for a while.
Yeah, so but like, Rich Eisen was like, I don't use this word. You know, it comes real, real disrespectful, but he's washed. The man is washed. He's garbage. But I think this highlights a bigger problem that the Steelers have, and that problem is they have not been preparing for Ben's full crash, because like you just said, we've been seeing this the last couple of years. He's not been a good quarterback or an elite quarterback for a nice little minute. And they've been
trying a lot of themselves.
They've been trying a lot of themselves. They have not prepared.
Mason Rudolph ready.
They do not have.
We haven't even seen Dwayne Haskins, so like I can't like you know
right
put him to the side for a little bit. But like yeah, like
they don't have a successor. Right, they don't have a successor to Ben, and that's the bigger issue here than Ben being washed.
Because we all fucking knew she was going to have Roy's, and we need some male ships.
Right.
He's, bro.
Nice succession reference.
He's moving like he got shit in his drawers every time he leaves the pocket. It's just embarrassing to watch him play football right now. I watch him like, why is he out there? And part of me said, just put somebody else in. You know, he wastes your time, but I don't know what – who do they have? You're going to have to roll with him being doo-doo. And that's really all you can do. You just don't look good. I watched the entire condensed version of the game with the Steelers, and he just looks awful. The solution is the season is not going anywhere. I mean, what is his stats on the year? I want to say he's like 3-for-3 in terms of touchdown interception ratio. And even like his stats last year, they were a bit deceiving. You see 33-10 and thinking, oh, that, he took off. He must have had a great year. A lot of that's toward the end. That's what I think he had. He's been a pat statter for quite the past few years, and it's finally catching up to him. On top of that, he's almost 40 years old and he's fat.
You know, you said Pat Statter.
Pat Statter, Stat Patter. Yeah.
We've been calling Matt Stafford Stat Patter for so long. We fucked
up. Hey, Popeye's Nerfic.
Nice. But a Stat Patter. But on top of that, he's 39 years old and fat. So it's not like he's 40 years old and in football shape. He is an out of shape man.
He got the Scott Steiner drop.
He's fat. You know what I'm saying?
He don't have freaks 9 days out of a week no more.
He's like 250 pounds. He's a fat guy. You know, he's tall.
He's Jamarcus Russell.
But he's fat. And so
and he's a criminal.
And on top of that, he's a rapist. But you know, we can
Mystic Man say, come on, you rapist.
Oh my god. I can hear Jim Ross right now. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Sharp turn here. Let's talk about contenders or pretenders. We're gonna talk about some teams that have shown out pretty well, either 3-0 or 2-1, very hard fought wins so far this season. I want you guys to tell me if you think they are contenders or they are
getting to it.
I heard that Carl Edwards getting to the Sox minor league system. Sorry.
Who?
Carl Edwards
Jr. I don't know.
I mean, he's bounced around. So
yeah, whatever. He's been around the league for a minute. But
he's found a fucking strike zone. Let's start in the AFC West with those three teams that are above the Chiefs. Let's start in Las Vegas with the 3-0 Raiders. Are they contenders or are they pretenders?
Pretenders. It's the fucking Raiders, man. I don't mind buying anything with Derek Carr running the show.
But I will say, Las Vegas, welcome me in 2 weeks. Look forward to seeing the stadium. Have you been there, Pierce?
Yes, it's gorgeous. I've been there twice. It's really nice.
I am looking forward to being there.
We are going to literally cross each other since I'm leaving and you're coming in to cover the game. It should be fun, man. I hope Bears fans, no matter how garbage that game is going to be, and it will be, you're probably going to get ran. Enjoy it. Enjoy Las Vegas. You're going to get raided. Enjoy.
Badooch.
It's not in the strip though, right? It's outside of Vegas.
No, it's off the strip.
It's off the strip.
But it's not in Las Vegas. It's in a different.
Well, the strip isn't in Las Vegas. The strip is paradise.
Did not know.
But it's across from Mandalay.
I found Airbnb super host with very, very, very nice.
Nice, so, man. Hey, I'm very anti Airbnb when it comes to Las Vegas. Matter, we don't live in fucking be in Las Vegas as long as you're not staying in fucking Fremont. Then like, no, cool.
I'm there to sleep there, go to the stadium, go back. So,
not trying to you know enjoy the nice ladies of Las Vegas, huh, Joe?
No, I'm there. I'm there to complete a job.
It's okay.
See how his voice turned like LeBron talking to the media.
Well, LeBron's like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, man.
When Peyton was like, that's your owner.
I was like, excuse me, brother.
I know LeBron picked it too. LeBron did the little, he had the us white people. He didn't do that on purpose laugh.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Didn't,
you know, and I know Peyton caught himself too. He's like,
I think Peyton knew he fucked up after he said it.
That's going to happen sometimes. Yeah, you're going to say, shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're sitting with someone who is in a wheelchair, you're like, oh man, give this man a standing ovation. You're like, oh, crap. You know what I'm saying? You didn't mean to say it, but it was unintentionally insensitive.
Yeah.
And so I know Peyton caught himself and was like,
Wait, what did Peyton say to LeBron?
He was talking about playing for Jerry Jones, and they showed Jerry Jones on the show. I mean, on the screen, and he's like, there's your owner.
Because Jerry Jones apparently gave LeBron a contract during the lockout to play. Him and who else? Pete Carroll did.
Pete Carroll, yeah.
And he was like, there's your owner. And he's like, there's the owner of your team that you would have played for. You know, it happens.
Okay.
Now, I say the Manning cast is the best thing.
It's really ESPN. Good, man. It's
you see Eli doing a double bird, then he had to apologize?
Yeah.
He did. Is it during it or was
no,
it?
No, he apologized like when they came back from commercial break. He's I didn't know. I thought I could do that on TV.
So funny.
He's but then we were
just glad people are realizing how funny Eli is because he's
just he did the deck.
He be heating Peyton. Peyton had his hands up and he had sweat on sweat marks on his arm. He's like, yeah, man, never put your hands up again. Just put them down.
It's quintessential brothers, man. Yeah. And I saw your tweet about players only. And this is the difference between that and players only. Players only is an actual broadcast we're not able to flip the channel and go listen to Kevin Harlan. We're listening to the players just try to do play by play, and it's fucking terrible. I can get. I almost called him Reese Davis.
But they had that. Remember when they had KG doing that shit?
Hold on. I can get. I forgot homeboy, but Lou Riddick, Brian Griese, and then fucking Steve Levy. I can get that if I want to. If I can turn to Peyton and Eli, I can get that as well. I get separate options. And for Monday Night Football, like, you're going to see a lot of that, especially now that, you know, they're trying to find a new home for Thursday Night Football. They've been kind of doing that because there's two sets of announcers for Thursday Night Football, one for Amazon, one for, you know, Fox and NFL Network. You see it, you're going to see it with Sunday Ticket, most likely, when the Sunday Ticket rights come up. It's great for ESPN because now they got the alternative. If you don't care to listen to their announced team, which has been mid for some whiles, now you get Peyton and Eli just breaking down a game differently. And
seeing Peyton just pissed at bad QB play.
It's that quarterback. He's gonna
put a bullet in his head when he watched the Bears play the Steelers.
He was looking at Dak. He's like, you know, I just don't like ball holders. Just don't like it.
But we gotta go.
He's gonna make a great general manager or coach if he ever decides to do it.
Yeah.
It's not Seth at the Hallis, so I won't speak.
I was just gonna say we gotta go 3 weeks without the Manning cast, which I'm upset about.
Oh, that really sucks.
That's gonna be dude water, whatever.
The 3-0 Denver Broncos.
Oh, Teddy man.
Bridgewater continues to cover. They got
He's actually looking good. He's actually looking good.
He's looking good, but they pretenders.
I say that, man.
Of course, they're pretenders. But that being said, that does it proves that once again, you know, Vic Fangio knows how to assemble a defense because the defense has been flying around and getting turnovers. That's been the big thing about them. They've been getting turnovers. And Teddy Bridgewater, man, he's been making plays. He's not like doing nothing that I didn't expect him to do. But I don't know if he's just adjusted to the air of Denver and therefore he has increased cardio. Because he will run for his life and he'll find somebody open. I've been impressed with what he's did. I think there'll be like a freaking 10-7, 9-18 this season.
I've been saying, like, watch out for the Denver Broncos as a possible wild card team. I think they're pretenders if we're talking Super Bowl. If we're talking playoffs, they're absolutely contenders for playoffs.
Yeah, they're contenders for playoffs.
Defensively solid. You worry at times about whether you're going to get both Chubb and Von Miller on, you know, on the field at the same time. That's really been, like, you know, what we've been waiting for out of Denver. But yeah, they've been showing me a lot. They beat up some of the teams that they're supposed to beat up, but not just winning, like, they're beating the shit out of them as they should. So, you know, this is going to be a good upcoming test against Baltimore, a good team at home. You know, I want to see how Teddy performs. I want to see, you know, how the defense is able to contain Lamar. And then we can go from there with Denver. But I really like Denver. Where are we going next?
You skipped the Chargers.
Skip the Chargers? Sorry. Yeah. We went on tangent.
The Jay Herbo.
2-1 Chargers.
Jay Herbo. They are contenders for the playoffs, but as far as winning the whole damn thing, they're pretenders.
Yes. Yes. That's a.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on the Chargers either.
I can't wait to go to SoFi. It's probably going to have to be for a Chargers game because the Rams are.
I really dropped the ball.
You fumbled that. It's all good.
It's about going there for free.
Yeah, it's all good.
I mean, but
not it, only getting there for free.
You would have to watch Andy Dalton.
That's fine. Not only getting there for free, but having a place to stay for free.
Yeah.
Fucked up. Anyway.
I mean, you could have stayed here, but you fucked up too. Let's talk about the Carolina Panthers 3-0. Sam Darnold looks decent. That takes a lot for me to say because I've hated Sam Darnold since his freshman year at USC. Yeah, what are we thinking of the Panthers?
They're a nice little fun story early. I think that it's good to see Sam Darnold actually look like a regular quarterback. That being said, they are 100% pretenders. I still think they're going to finish under 500, and they're not going to be even close to the Buccaneers. That's my take on the Panthers.
Oh, look at Scott getting a shout out by his trainer, Fat Man. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Instagram. I will say, exactly like you said, they're going to make the playoffs. You know, there are contenders for playoffs, pretenders outside of that. I think that's pretty obvious. Justin Herbert is just a fantastic quarterback.
What, dude, we're talking about the Panthers. Like,
I thought we were talking about the freaking Chargers.
Nigga, you're like two teams behind.
I'm sorry. We're talking about the Panthers. I just think the change of scenery has helped. I can't think of the nigga's name right now.
Sam Darnold.
I think the change of scenery has made Sam Darnold better. He looks good. I don't think there's any reason to act like he does not look good. He looks good. But as far as anything long-term, beginning of the season is always going to be, you know, a group of teams who look better than they should be. The question is, I do not think Sam Darnold will come. There'll be a comeback down to earth. From what I've seen from him, he just looks like he's seeing the field a lot better. The team, however, I think will come back down to earth.
Yeah, and I don't like how they've utilized Robbie Anderson so far this year. It's like Sam Darnold never fucking played with him. And
I don't think they like
him. Doesn't like him. Like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I think they'll come crashing back down to earth because, you know, I don't think they're utilizing him well. I'm worried about Christian McCaffrey and his injury. They just went and traded for CJ Henderson from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we'll see how if the defense can continue to play the way they have. But you know, they haven't played the Saints in the Superdome yet. They haven't played the Buccaneers yet. So we're gonna give that some time. We got two more teams here. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, 2-1.
The Pretenders. I'm gonna say it's the Cowboys,
they,
man.
They play really, really well that first week against the Buccaneers. Almost beat them.
I'll say this: Dak is elite.
We can't.
Dak is elite. That's what we're gonna get. That Dak is fucking elite. But it's the fucking Cowboys. Something wrong can fucking happen. So I can't call them contenders until they win a playoff game. That's just how much it is with the Cowboys. Like, it's just, and we've seen the Cowboys start 4-2, 5-1, and then the shit hits the fucking fan. I'm not saying whether it's play. It could be another injury. That's what I'm saying. So, but I will say Dak is 100% elite. There's not a doubt in my mind Dak might be a top five quarterback right now. Like, the nigga's incredible. And I didn't see this shit coming at all because he was mid for a long time.
My take on it, on the Cowboys, is I think they're contenders. The defense can give up some chunk plays every now and then, but at the same time, what I see from them is they are getting turnovers. They have playmakers. They have Diggs. Is that Diggs' brother? Is that what's called a Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, brother? That's his brother. That's his brother.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not shocked that they can catch the ball so well.
His son is hilarious. If you saw him on Hard Knocks, he kept calling Dak Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And Micah Parsons, who turned into a defensive end now, which is, I'm still not sure that's a good use of his talent. But at the same time, seeing him set the edge and catch Jalen Hurts both full speed is
the
insane.
The fact that he's so versatile that he can do it is, I think,
it is ridiculous. Yeah, so no, I think that they're actually contenders. I don't think that they're pretenders whatsoever. That first game was just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate loss. And I truly think that they're going to be, you know, and then on top of that, Zeke looks like himself again. You know, Zeke seeing the hole better, Zeke seeing the field better, running through players, you know, juking players. He's a Buckeye, so I'm good. I'm probably going to be a little bit biased, but I'm really, really, I'm sold on them so far. Because I think it's not, of course, it's early, and you need to take that into factor when you're, you know, suggesting who can be a good team. But when you look at the things that they're executing, I think that they're good. Dak is just, man, he sees the field so well. Like, when he throws, I'm expecting it to be caught. You know what I'm saying? And that's how you know a quarterback is elite.
Yeah.
I'm going to heed what you told me earlier, and I'm not going to say anything about so-and-so. But
I agree with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are playing really well. I think they'll run away with the NFC East. That's the only reason I'm calling contenders, because they're going to run away with the NFC East, and they'll get to the playoffs, and we'll see what comes in there. The Arizona Cardinals are also 3-1. They gave me a big scare that first half, and I was wondering, are you niggas going to cover? Because that was a trap game. If you fair, was a trap game, but thankfully they were. We're sold on the Cardinals as contenders.
I'll be sold this week. I got to see them play the Rams. And then I'll know what to expect from this team. So right now they're just doing what they're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? So when they play the Rams, as of right now, I'll say pretender. But they could change my mind if they beat the Rams this week.
Yep. And then let's talk about a good team in both conferences. Who is an AFC team? Give me an AFC team and an NFC team that has impressed you the most through week three.
Most impressive out of the two. I'm going to say in the NFC, I'm still going to go with I'm going to go with the Rams for right now. Most impressive team. AFC, I'm going to go with I think I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm gonna go with the Bills because even though the Bills had that rough first game, you saying all for that? I got them in the Super Bowl. So that was my Super Bowl pick.
You were starting to recant a little bit, but okay.
No, I was debating between them and the Chargers because I really liked the Chargers going into Arrowhead and winning that. But I'm gonna say the Bills because the Bills have been kicking niggas' asses after that first loss, and the defense looked good. Josh Allen looks
Their points that they scored and their points again is staggering.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with the Bills and the Rams for my two.
The Rams would definitely be my NFC pick. I think it's just obvious what they've done.
They were all sold on the Rams.
My second pick will probably be the Ravens.
Ravens?
Yes.
That's a good pick, actually.
Okay. The Ravens. Remember, the Ravens are lost that first game, but now they're riding a two-game win streak. And I think I'm just impressed with the fact that Harbaugh and Lamar are on such like the same page that it just shows in their offense. The defense, we know that the defense is doing well, but they really just look to be in sync, and they're down a lot of people. You know what I mean? How many people are they down to injured reserve? Three or four?
Corners, a few running backs. It's really not.
You know what I'm saying? In the game that they lost versus Las Vegas, that was a close one, bro. And if it wasn't for just an idiotic lapse in judgment on that last defensive possession, they could have came out and win. You know, Lamar's passing for 225 plus every single game.
I like what I see from Lamar. I knew y'all thought I was going to cost. I went back and watched the condensed version of Ravens, Lions. Made some big plays. He had a dumbass interception. But like I said earlier, it's how you bounce back. And that 4th and 19 was an incredible ball that he threw. So I got to give it to Lamar.
I was talking to Herb Howard of the Bigs, and we were having discussions about, you know, how you adapt to players in their systems without mentioning people in Chicago.
It's Harbaugh. He did that to a T.
But he maximized the skill that Lamar has. Lamar can throw some dots at certain times, but he can throw some beautiful touch passes. That's his biggest skill, is touch passes. And when you key on him doing that, he's going to take off on you. And they've maximized that successfully. Justin Tucker needs to be drug tested. I don't understand how you make that kick.
Longest kick in NFL history.
To win the game. 66 freaking yards is ridiculous. I'm intrigued. I wonder would there ever be a time that there's enough wind if someone could make a 70. I'm intrigued to see. But the Ravens surprised me. They're not surprised me, but I've really been impressed by what they've done.
I agree on the Rams with you two, and I'm also going to agree with Scott on the Bills. Week one is puzzling still, but then to come out the next 2 weeks, shut out the Dolphins, and then beat the brakes off of Washington. It was very impressive way for the Bills to bounce back and say, like, hey, we're still, you know, we're still one of the class teams of the AFC. Don't sleep on us. I was impressed by the Bills in that regard. All right. We got two more things to talk about. One, we all know the hottest seat in the NFL. We're not going to talk about that, man. Fuck that, man. I want to ask you guys, besides that bald-headed bastard, who is the hottest seat? Who has the hottest seat in the NFL?
Ryan Pace. Sorry, I know.
I mean, head coaches.
That's kind of tough, man. I won't say his seat is hot per se, but I will say that he's put up a shut up time. I'm gonna say Cliff Kingsbury. That to me, like, they have to do something.
Are they undefeated?
They're undefeated.
Yeah, but I'm saying they have to make the playoffs, is what I'm saying. They have to make the playoffs.
Now they started undefeated. Now it's kind of like, okay, so you have to make the playoffs.
Right? Yeah, because they started hot last year and they teetered off.
Yeah.
Also, Kyler Murray is taking a leap. So
I hear you, but I'm saying that if I had to name one, I don't really think there's anybody outside of Visor Boy who's really a quote unquote on the hot seat.
But no, that's true. I'd have to look before I say. But go ahead, Pierce. I'm gonna let you say it first. I have to look.
Well, I think there's a couple. One of them's Joe Judge in New York. I was kind of, you know, giving him some leeway towards, because, you know, he was going to take the 6-10 New York Giants to the playoffs, right? Nah, he doesn't have the ear of that locker room. They look awful at 0-3. So I definitely think he's on the hot seat. You mentioned Pete Carroll earlier. It's going to be put up a shut time for Pete Carroll. Those two dudes in particular, and I don't like that people are questioning Brian Flores, because I think Brian Flores is a good coach, but it wouldn't shock me if the Dolphins continue to nosedive that you start to hear Brian Flores' name. But I think of the three that I named, Joe Judge is probably most likely to lose his gig.
You know, as I look across the AFC, I don't see any team that I think, like, you know, we got the Dolphins, which, you know, maybe, of course, as you said.
I just thought another Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer. I mean, they can't be me at
forever. I think he's not a good coach, but, like, there has to be some results.
They're middle of the pack. You know,
yeah, I agree with Zimmer, too. I didn't think about it.
They've been middle of the pack. But AFC, I mean, like, even the last place people or the people who are doing bad, these are like Mike Tomlin's going nowhere. Urban Meyer just got there.
Right.
The Colts, you just got a new quarterback. You're still
figuring things out. You're not going to fire Frank Wright. Frank Wright's done a great job.
Yeah.
The Giants, probably. But I don't know. They have more questions than just coach.
They booed the shit out of the owner when they inducted Eli into the Giants Hall of Fame this week.
The Seahawks have been. I mean, have they been to the? They've been to the playoffs almost like every year Pete Carroll's been here. So
virtually, they've only missed a couple of years.
But like the thing is like they haven't. I don't know what you do with that. That's a tough thing when you're a general manager or when you're an owner. Every time, like I'm looking right now, Pete Carroll took over in 2010. They missed the playoffs twice.
Twice, okay.
They missed twice.
Twice.
And this features several divisional games. And so, that's just a tough situation to just – how many division wins do they have? They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 5, yeah. So, what do you do with that situation when you're not really – you won a Super Bowl – in 2013, and since then you've been to the playoffs every year except one, but you know, a lot of wild card games, a lot of division games. You lost Super Bowl or 2014. What do you do as an owner? You've only in that span, there's only been one season when you had under 10 wins, and they were
talking about what do you do as far as choose between the two?
No. What do you do as far as like keeping the head coach around? You know,
doesn't want the head coach around, you send the head coach the fuck up out of there.
And that's kind of where, like,
do you though?
Yes, you take talent. Russ is 32 years old. You take talent over coaching any fucking day of the week.
He is 32.
Pete Carroll, if he's not 70, he's pushing 70. So, you know, that's 70. To me is like, yeah, he's been great. He's been awesome. But there does come a certain time where, you know, you need to change. You need to change in order to continue to stay consistent and to stay good. And then it just becomes making the right hire after. And, you know, that's why I throw Pete Carroll in there, is because, you know, there's only so long that you can say, hey, I've won a Super Bowl. He won us a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was almost a decade ago.
It's been 7-8 years. So I want to keep going because I do got to get the hell out of here. Let's talk week 4 in the NFL.
Speaking of week 4, really, did y'all see the ad? Man. Did y'all see the ad?
Like, we all saw it, dog. Come on. Week, Thursday night, Jacksonville in Cincinnati, 7.5 points. I don't know why it's 7.5 points. I think that Jacksonville can back the recovery of this. But the Bengals, like I said earlier, they've looked really impressive throughout the first couple of games. I'm going to go with the Bengals to win.
I'm going to go with the Bengals. You can say Thursday night football has been bad, but you can sell me on Burrow versus Lawrence.
Thursday night football's been good this year. Stop playing.
You're right. But this last game was terrible. But
offensively for Houston, it was terrible.
Yeah, but you're right. It's been watchable. But you can definitely sell me on Burrow versus Lawrence. But I'm picking the Bengals.
It's the first time they played. Yeah, it's the first time they played since national championship a couple years ago. So that's going to be very, very interesting. Joe?
I'm going Burrow.
Going with your Buckeye?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Once a Buckeye, always a Buckeye?
It reminds when they asked Nick Saban. It's like, Jalen Hurts, Alabama QB. And Nick Saban was like, hold on, nigga. That nigga didn't finish with me. But that nigga was LSU.
All right. The Washington football team, 1.5 favorites. in, I still call it the Georgia Dome. It's the Georgia Dome. In Atlanta, taking on the Falcons. I'm with the underdogs here. I might go with Atlanta.
This one I went back and forth about, man. I just couldn't pick the Falcons. I really wanted to. I really wanted to pick the Falcons, but I'm going to Washington just if I feel like the defense can make some plays.
I'm on Washington.
Washington's worst team in third down conversion. Wow. The Jets are hosting the Titans. Titans are 7.5-point favorites.
Come on, dog.
I think they're
come on, dog. You know, winning that one.
Roll Jets.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
The Jets, where they win?
I think they win. And it's just going to be one of those fluke NFL wins. Nothing that says that they're a good team. Zach Wilson has been duty water. But I do think that he is starting to understand and he's starting to get the ball out faster. And there's always improvements this rookie year. And he and Trevor Lawrence, unlike other rookies in the past, are being tasked with throwing the ball a lot. And I think this would be a win for him, a surprise win. I would take them to win by over 7. So can't wait to see my parlays fail.
As you guys are aware, we don't pick the Chicago Bears games here. Scott and Joe talk about them on Saturday Night at the House later on this week.
Shout out to the Spaces. You all killed it. I was not there.
Great. Thank you guys so much.
I heard it was popping.
Yeah, Spaces is cracking. 130
folks in the spaces yeah. The other day, man. So that was great. We'll be back this Sunday. But you know, I can still give my prediction for this Sunday's game.
Fair.
And I'm gonna just keep real G for you, man. I'm rocking with the Motor City this weekend.
So am I.
I hope the Detroit Lions go to Soldier Field. And you know what? I hope it's not even an embarrassment. I hope it's a very tough, hard-fought game.
That they lose anyway?
That they lose anyway because of that bald bastard with the visor. So let's go, Dan Campbell. Rip some kneecaps.
Unfortunately,
off.
It's going to be a Justin Fields breakout.
Probably. Yeah, man.
Unfortunately,
Bears are going to win this week.
Justin Fields is going to make Matt Nagy look better. Matt Nagy's going to do something very simple.
That's my fear, dog.
With that fucking grin on his face on Monday.
Bro, he's going to show up
on time for the press conference Monday.
Bro, he's going to be doing what he always does when we walk into the Hallis Hall. He's going to be saying, "What's up, guys?
Fields, how you guys feeling? Again."
Bro, Justin's going to start taking off. The plays are going to break down, or they're going to do bootlegs. They're going to spread the ball out. And Matt Nagy, for a very, very brief second, is going to look like a good play caller. Now, you won't hear from him until Thursday. So I wonder what's going to happen between him and Bill Lazor. But I think he's going to
– And cut the Nick Foles shit. Justin Fields is going to start this week.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. But that quote was taken out of context.
It was taken out of context. He was saying that because he didn't know the full extent of Justin's
exactly. Justin's hand. It was negative, but you know that you have to take an MRI after that to make sure there's nothing more. So there you go. Sorry, Pierce got to go, but you know.
But I do think that like if Dick Stockton wasn't retired, this is a total Dick Stockton game.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Let's keep going here. We got Cleveland. Getting 2 points in Minnesota. I think this is going to be a rough game for Cleveland, actually. I'm going to take the Vikings.
I'm taking the Browns, even though I have not been impressed with the Browns yet.
Me neither.
But I'm going to still take the Browns.
Impressed with their running game. I'm going with the Browns, though. Going with the Browns.
Yeah. Indiana in Miami. Dolphins are 2-point favorites. This is going to be a putrid fucking game.
I'm going to go Colts.
I want to go Colts. Who's starting? Jacoby Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett revenge game?
Get the narrow out of a coffin. Might have to go with the Dolphins then. I don't know. I'm going to stick with the Colts to cover just because, like, you know, the expectation is the Colts probably should win this game, but they're also just, like, really, really fucking bad right now. So I'm going to say the Colts, but I'm probably going to be wrong.
Yeah, I'm picking Colts.
I'm going Colts.
Offensively, it'd be just god fucking awful. Jesus
Christ. And Carson Wentz stinks, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Thank God we didn't get.
Cowboys are 5-point favorites against the Panthers. Yeah, I think the Cowboys win by a touchdown.
Cowboys gonna beat the Panthers. Joe, you going with the Panthers?
I'm going with the Panthers.
Okay. It wouldn't be out the realm of possibility. It's fucking Cowboys.
Nah, once again, it's not gonna be something that makes you think Cowboys are frauds or nothing. It's just that I think that the Panthers, if they win this game, I'm going to be sold on them. Even though I did say wait 5 weeks, I'm going to be sold. But I think this will be Sam Darnold just looks better. He just looks better. That's just the truth.
Now I got a question for you. The line is 50 and a half points. You over and under 50 and a half points? Because I think they clear with these.
I think they clear that. They're going over.
I think this is
an over. I'm taking the over because the Cowboys gonna score.
Yeah, bro, you gonna get signed
up?
Bro?
The Cowboys at home.
Signed up with what?
FanDuel, my nigga. You know what I'm talking about.
I say, what does California even have?
Y'all should have all that. Y'all California,
yeah,
right?
We got all of them, but I'm not doing this shit.
I wonder, do you have in-person registration like Chicago does?
I don't know.
You talking about for Vegas?
Yeah.
Vegas, you got to register in person.
That's shocking. Well, I guess no, it's the casino. I realize they did it so that casinos would get traffic.
Well, that's the reason why we don't have FanDuel, because the casinos were like, yeah, nah, we're not having that shit. So, yeah, all the guys are the casinos doing it.
Don't some casinos have online sport books themselves?
Well, yeah, they do mobile sports betting, but you still have to come in and...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We talking about Bovada? Nah, Bovada, they wouldn't let that shit fly here. Damn. They wouldn't let that shit fly. Well, because, you know, it's tackled. Most of the money that casinos make, just period, all go towards like taxes and shit. That's why this is a no tax thing. So that's why we can't do FanDuel, all that shit, because the casinos be like, no, that's taking money away from us. But
makes sense.
7 points are what Kansas City's getting in Philadelphia. I'm gonna say this is gonna be a blowout against the Eagles.
Yeah, it's gonna be a mess. I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Eagles.
Oh man, you right, go this man. On purpose now.
Whoever's listening to this, do not ever take them the Eagles. This is just pure gut feeling that I'm taking the Eagles. I do not think Jalen Hurts is as bad as
also because Kansas City never covers.
On top of the exact, and Kansas City is going to be playing angry, so I would not be shocked if they mow down the Eagles. But I do think Jalen Hurts is not as bad as he's been playing, not as bad as he was playing yesterday, and I do think that. There's room for improvement with them, and I think the Chiefs are still suffering from success.
Yeah, but they're not going to be 1-3 though.
They're going to start off 1-3.
I can't see that.
Here's a line.
For I got Madden, bro. So you want to settle this on Madden, bro? I got the show now too.
You just lost Khalil Mack. I don't want to hear you.
Yeah, right. You lost your locker room, nigga.
First off, no, I didn't. I didn't lose him. I'm 6-1. And he said, as long as he told Nagy, because now I didn't know who else but his coach. He said, as long as we keep winning, I'll stay around. And so we started off like 1-1, and then we won every other game since then. And he was a press guy, and then he had a little heart to heart. He's like, you know what? I'm not feeling about myself yet, but as long as we keep winning, I'll stay around. I'm like, okay, nigga. Yeah. They got like 5 sacks through 7 games. What you mad for?
Do you guys want to guess the spread for the Texans at Buffalo?
Probably enormous.
Just guess.
14.
Scott? I'd say 15.
It was 14 and a half, right?
16 and a half.
Jesus.
It opened at 14. It's been sent up to 16 and a half. And you know what? Fuck it. Bills cover.
Yeah.
Bills will cover.
For sure.
Bills will cover.
Seen Davis Webb play quarterback. They're going to cover.
For sure.
The Arizona Cardinals and the LA Rams.
It's going to be a good teams.
One of them, so I guess neither of them have to lose. They can tie, but, you know. Rams are 5-point favorites. Who do you got?
Wait, where's it at?
Yeah, where's it at?
It's not so far.
Scott said the LA fans have been coming out, you know.
They got a real home field advantage up in that motherfucker now. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go with the Rams.
And from the journalists I know who were there, they've been saying, like, it rocks. When Rams fans are rowdy. So
okay.
I take my back. I'm going to go Rams. You know, if it was in Arizona, I'd probably go Cardinals. Feels good to have fans back. I just want to put that
out
there.
It really does, man. It really does. Helps the traditions and the atmosphere, man. I'm going to go with the Rams as well. The other two NFC West teams are playing. The Seahawks are in Santa Clara to take on the 49ers. Niners are favored by 3. I don't know where to go with this one. Let me just keep it real with you. I'm going to say the 49ers because I trust them more. But I mean, like, these two teams, they always battle and it's always interesting.
I'm going with Seattle because Seattle cannot afford to go 1-3.
They really can't.
So that's what I'm going with. I'm going with Seattle. And these games are always a toss-up, like you said, Pierce. This is a great rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
I'm going with Seattle. Remember Seattle used to be dominant and the Rams were trash and the Rams would just be thrashing Seattle?
Yeah.
Every year they would just be beating the crap out of Seattle.
For no reason. Baltimore is in Denver. This is virtually a pick 'em, but yeah. Baltimore opened as 3-point favorites. They're now 1-point underdogs. does Teddy cover 1 point and beat the Ravens?
I'm going with Denver, dog.
I'm going with Teddy covers.
I'm going. They playing the Raiders.
I actually took Baltimore +2, but like I'm going with Teddy covers. Fuck
I'm going with Teddy.
Yeah, I'm going with Theodore Midwater.
The game of the week on CBS, the Pittsburgh Steelers in Green Bay to take on the Packers.
Packers going to smack them.
They are going to destroy
smack them.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it's going to be nasty. They're going to smack the shit out of the Steelers.
I think the Steelers cover. Lions at 6.5. I do think they cover because, like, I think both fan bases are going to be well represented in Lambeau. I do think it's going to be a good game, but fourth quarter Packers pull away.
Yeah, I agree.
Joe?
I agree.
All right. The Sunday nighter, the one that we are all waiting for. Tom Brady's returning to England.
Cue the Adele.
Hello from the other side.
Can I say something about Adele? No, you know it.
Really quickly. Good. Really quickly. Oh, yes.
Let me just say premium.
Shout out to Rich Paul.
Shout out to Rich Paul, bro.
Really premium. A come up in life. We're such a come up. 6.5.
First, I just want to say Dale was bad when she was big. You know, I love me a big woman.
We don't discriminate. Big.
We don't body shame here, bro. She was.
Why the Jamaican man?
She been beautiful. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. 6.5 points is what Tampa's getting.
I'm taking over on that. They gonna beat the shit.
Look, if they don't 49 points, but
look, well, I don't know how to determine that. I'm taking by them winning more than 6 points. Because look, if them niggas lose to the Patriots, he's making them walk to Tampa Bay. They are going to win by at least two touchdowns.
Tom Brady's gonna take away when it comes to he doesn't pay for.
When it comes to Bill Belichick's determination and Tom Brady's determination, they're both high and above the average humans. Yeah. But Tom Brady's is a little step above. Tom Brady's not going to let a rookie quarterback beat him.
No
and
way.
He's not going to let his former coach beat him. He's going to stump a mud hole. Yeah. It's going to be like 3rd-and-1 with like 20 seconds left from the 40, and he's going to launch in the end zone. And it's going to get caught. I'm expecting them to win by 2 scores.
And I do think the reception from the fans is going to be the best shit we've seen since when Jordan came back on the West Wizard. And we cheered that nigga for like, we cheered that nigga for like 20 minutes. It's going to be like that.
Bro, people have Tom Brady tatted on themselves. Yeah. Bro. They love him in that entire region.
Someone from New England said that Tom Brady is the greatest New England sports star ever. And for a half second, I was like, Bill Russell. But then I'm like, y'all niggas didn't love Bill Russell.
Right. Bill Russell hates Boston.
Right.
How many rings did Bill Russell win as a player? Not the coach.
Like 11? Yeah.
I'll just stay here. Sunday night. Oh, sorry, Monday night. AFC West. The Chargers host the Raiders. I do not have the spread, or I do have the spread.
Got two games. Got two games so far.
You said they host the Ravens? I thought you already said the Raiders.
Raiders.
Then who was? I thought you said the Raiders.
Ravens are going to Denver.
Oh, okay. Wow, I'm picking the Ravens in the other one. And I thought you said Raiders. My fault. But what's happening here? Yeah. It's going to be the Chargers spanking them.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Chargers are going to win. But if you're going to the game, make sure you have some Teflon under your shirt because niggas will be getting stabbed. Anytime there's Raiders in LA, there's problems. When it's Raiders or Niners games in LA, there's issues.
So why?
It's just that fan base, dog. It's like when the Giants come to Dodger Stadium.
They bring out the worst with the
California. Shanking niggas up. There's three niggas
the
you don't want.
The Raiders fans are shanking niggas?
Yes.
You forget that, like Raiders, like a lot of LA still.
A lot of LA Raiders are the number one. The Raiders and the Cowboys are the top two teams in California. It's not the Rams. The Rams are number three.
I'm pretty sure they still have the Raiders store at City Walk and like.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's gonna be it for us today. Thank you for joining us. These dudes will be 7 at the Hallis later on this week. Preview the Detroit Lions game. Join us on Sunday after the game for another post game spaces. Hopefully it's a lot happier and less calling out that bald bastard for his shit. We're going to do another 40-40 this upcoming week because the White Sox are going to the playoffs. So we have to preview that. I'm saying it. Shit.
Oh, okay.
Scott will do the postseason spaces with Dante. So White Sox haters, be on the lookout for that. I will actually be in Chicago for game 1 and game 2. So if you want to come out, have a drink, just hit me up. I'll be antagonistic like a motherfucker. But that's just what I am.
I was gonna say is I'm actually having a special playoff edition of He Gone. It's gonna be hosted by me and Dante, and we got a couple other White Sox guys on.
Look at that. Shows are coming back. Look at that. Yeah. Third pick's back. fought on lies back. Back.
Yeah, everything's back.
Yeah, man. I don't know what else to plug. Do you guys still doing the what ifs for cinema with the guys?
We're doing that once the season finishes because we've had so much other shit to do. So check out, look out for one next week. We'll talk about finish up what if, and we'll talk about Many Saints of Newark.
Oh yeah, that's coming out. Too. I forgot about that, man. Thank you guys for joining us week four. Enjoy it. For Joe, you can follow him at Flows and Lean. For Scott, you can follow him at Barbershare Scott. You can always follow the brand at Barbershare Network. I am Pierce. You can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Thank you for joining us. We're going to see you guys next week.